Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEI.
Well, that was rough last night.
Yikes.
I'll be honest, I didn't catch much of the first period. Bruins were down 1-0. I'm watching in the second. Bruins have an opportunity to even up the scoring. You thought they were going to even up the scoring.
Oh, my God. It was right there. You thought they were going to score shorthanded. Breakaway?
Zaka gets denied.
Like, shorthanded. Here we
go. Next thing you know.
Blink your eyes.
Brandon Carlo trips over himself. Connor McDavid, breakaway goal. He's been cold for them.
Yeah.
Breakaway goal the
Good
other
player,
way.
Though.
2-0.
Nice player.
3-0 before the end of the period. Bruins wind up losing 4-0 after an empty netter last night. It's hour two, Jones and Keefe, here on WEEI. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers coming up. We'll also talk to Terp at high noon.
All right, Terp.
As we add in some Bruins and Celtics thoughts from last night, both in action. I would say they went very different directions.
They sure did.
You can still jump in on the Patriots conversation. Mike Vrabel, could Brady screw it all up? The urgency from Robert Kraft. And the bombshell story today from Chad Graff exposing some of the issues that Jerod Mayo had last year. Too buddy-buddy with the players, playing cards with them on the back of the plane on the way back from Arizona. Indecisive when it came to discipline, et cetera, which I think is another way where ownership is trying to highlight the criteria that Mike Vrabel brings to the table and the positives that Mike Vrabel brings to the table. So you can jump in on all that again. 617-779-7937. Bruins lose last night, Keith. 4-0.
Sure did.
Swayman was bombarded in that game. I think he faced 38 shots. The defense in front of him has been poor. Not to let him off the hook by any means. He's been terrible.
Nope.
But you give up 38 shots. Swayman gives up 3 goals last night. They lose 4-0. And you have Fire Sweeney Chance in the building. Bruins have lost 5 in a row, 6-7.
Yeah.
They're back home and losing now, as you heard Judd Surratt there detail on Nesson. They have been dropping games on the road, but at least defending their home ice, not anymore. They're in jeopardy of falling out of the playoffs altogether because they've been just peeing away all these points. Teams are catching up in the standings. The Fire Sweeney Chance lets you know Bruins fans are restless.
Sometimes they just got to know their place.
Are they in trouble? Yeah, we'll see if anybody
Bruins
say
that. The league. Shut your mouth.
We'll see you.
Stop it.
Anybody got Marchand or anybody comes out and says that after the game. Are they in trouble, A. Keefe? And if they are, what do they do about it?
They are in trouble. I don't know how you can be watching them and think that they're not in trouble. In fact, last night, I think you could see it on Joe Sacco's face. And they showed him right after that exchange we were talking about where it looked like they were going to tie it up shorthanded and then immediately went down 2-0. And they immediately show him on the bench, and he's just like, man, like, what am I, what on earth am I supposed to do
with this?
What am
I doing here?
What is this? I thought I had a chance at this. The team is playing really poorly. Also, I think you can notice it, too. A guy like Trent Frederick, who I really, really like, is not having a good year.
Did you say this on the air? You said if you could buy any player jersey, Trent Frederick's your guy.
I think so.
That's your guy.
On this team. It also maybe speaks to the level of talent they have.
He'll rough you up a little bit. He roughed up Corey Perry last night.
Bloody Knox.
He had 1 point in a month. His jersey.
Listen, Nick, I'm not talking about the points. I'm talking about him punching Corey Perry in the snout.
Last year, he was like a 20-20 guy, right? He was right around 40 points last year, I think.
That's the thing. Last year. This year's a different year. He has sucked this year.
He's not been good. And he's in a contract year.
But I could see it. Every punch he threw, it wasn't about Corey Perry. It was about him. We've all been there, right? You're yelling. You're like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at me.
Yeah.
I'm mad at myself.
The millions he's flushed down the toilet with the way he's playing this year. Yeah.
Millions.
Yeah.
He has flushed millions. He's probably going to have to sign like a one-year deal somewhere because he's playing so poorly. And I think he was kind of taking it out on Corey Perry, which was great to see. It was fun. Like, he's tough trying to get the team back into it a little bit. He clearly won that fight, but that didn't do anything. So, I don't know. I have a hard time because a lot of the conversation around this team, and you add it to the Fire Don Sweeney Chance, is how bad the roster is. People are so mad about the roster. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I just think you have a ton of guys that are playing way below what they are. Like, I expected more from Frederick. I expected more from Coyle. I expected more from Elias Lindholm. Zadorov, I mean, just blows. I thought maybe he'd be better. I think even other guys, you know, whether like Carlo, like...
No, I think you're right. I thought
they were better. I don't look at, I mean...
Their best players have underachieved. 100%.
Yes, that's what I think.
Swayman, Pastrnak, McAvoy, Marchand. You just gave the list. Even the new signings, Lindholm, Zadorov, like all those guys. So you're right. Frederick on the list as well. I don't know if he's really truly one of their best players, but fine. Their best players have underachieved. I agree with that. I didn't hate the roster coming into the year, but now something doesn't fit. You already blew out the coach.
Yeah.
So, okay, they're all underachieving. Do you just sit there and wait and hope that, you know, all of a sudden their numbers come back up and they regress to the mean and these guys are about to get hot because that's the way it works year to year?
No, or, you probably do have to shake it
or up. Do you do something about it?
Yeah, and so I think you have to.
I think that's now the new thing for Sweeney. I didn't hate the roster coming into the year either. I like the Lindholm signing. I talked myself into, like an idiot, the Zadorov signing because at least they were spending money.
He had a chance to be Haas of the Week every week, but he's not. He's never going to be Haas of the Week.
I don't think he's going to be winning Haas of the Week anytime soon here on Jones and Keefe. So I was okay with the roster. They should definitely be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Right now you're teetering on it. 45 points in 43 games. You have Columbus in the final playoff spot, 42 and 41. Games in hand, they can pass you. Same thing with Pittsburgh. Same thing with even Ottawa. Who has played four fewer games. So
no, they're in trouble in that sense. Like right now they're like, oh, they have a playoff spot, but like these teams are like right behind them and they haven't played as many games.
The Bruins
and, like,
have the games out of hand, Keith.
Their games are way
out of hand. You never want the games way out of hand.
Which is good that maybe it'll lighten up a little bit. You'll get some time off at some point because you've played so many. You've played five more games than Tampa, however that's worked.
So look, the fans hate Sweeney. We know that.
Yeah.
Sweeney gets all kind of ridicule. I think for good reason. If they're trending towards missing the playoffs, I think that'll get his attention because it'll get ownership's attention.
Oh, yeah. You can't miss the playoffs.
And he's going to have to do something about it. So that's now the onus for him.
They already fired the coach.
Yeah.
That was one avenue that they could have gone down, and they did. And there was a immediate boost. But we even wondered in real time how much of that was the change in voice versus you're playing bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
They played a bunch of bad teams. They did they piled up some points, and you're like, all right. You know, maybe the season's back on. And then you start playing some good teams again, and things are starting to fall apart. They've had a power play issue. It seems like every year, there's no in-between. Either they have an awesome power play or a horrible power play. Like, in the last, 10 years?
Yeah,
doesn't it feel like it's one or the other?
Even going back to 2011 when they won the cup.
Yeah. It's either like, oh my God, they score every time, and Pastrnak's going to have, 25 power play goals, or it's like, nope, stymied again.
Well,
and so they're in one of those kind of funks. You pay the goalie. The goalie hasn't lived up to the contract yet. So it's a tough combination. But, I mean, to me, you have two of the best forwards in hockey. You have one of the best defensemen in hockey. And you should have one of the best goalies in hockey. It's a pretty good place to start. That's why I think, these guys are just widely underachieving. And so far, they've been doing it now with two different coaches.
So you fired the coach. It didn't get their attention. Now you got to shake up the roster. What do they need? How does Sweeney fix it? Can Sweeney fix it? Do they move on from Don Sweeney? Do you agree? Do you agree with the crowd last night? Look, if they miss the playoffs, he probably is gone, especially because he lost his human shield in Jim Montgomery.
Yeah.
I checked this morning. St. Louis has been better since he's been there, but they haven't been great. 617-779-7937. Do they need, I think based on your answer, you think they need help up front, help on the power play, help in their top six, which I would agree with.
Yeah, I think all of that. I mean, I know they scored... Pastrnak had a couple of goals in that game against New York where they lost in overtime. But you look on this losing streak, you know, they got shut out last night. They had two games where they back-to-back scored a goal. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong. Like, the defense hasn't been very good. The two goalies are the two goalies. That's the one thing where, you're keeping those guys.
I feel
everybody
on the back end and the goalies, they have so much money invested.
Yeah.
They have invested a lot of money back there. So, I would invest, and I know they just paid Lindholm. I would invest more up front, personally.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I think that's what they need. You look at their current losing streak. They've lost five in a row. And they have scored in three of those games one goal or fewer.
They've
scored one against Washington, one against New York, zero last night.
It's not going to cut it.
It's not.
It's not.
So how do you fix the Bruins? 617-779-7937. And Nick certainly feels like Sweeney's gone.
So
do you agree? Is he a dead man walk?
Trent Frederick, for example,
right?
One of my favorite players. Last year had... What do you have? 18 goals and 22 assists.
Yeah, so I thought he was a 40-point guy. I thought he was 20-20, but 18-22,
whatever. But still, it added up to 40. He'd punch you in the mouth, and then he'd also score you a point every other game. This year, that's cut in half. He's on pace for 23 points. So I thought you could kind of rely on that because he had had kind of back-to-back years where it was in that ballpark, and you're like, hey, contract year, here we go. Maybe you expect even a little bit more. But he seems to be one of those guys, and you see it in every sport every once in a while. Contract year, not necessarily a motivator. Maybe no. It's on your mind, and you kind of regress
in your head.
And that's what's happening with him.
100%. So, yeah, I think Frederick is an obvious guy to move if he has value. I don't know how much value he has based on the way he's playing.
Not a ton.
And I think that he's an impending free agent.
It's more about, you know, who are some of the guys that are on the ice right now a lot that you just need to kind of shake it up. And maybe it's a change of scenery for somebody else from some other team that comes in and provides a little bit of a spark or something like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, you don't have much to move, right? I think think you have your draft pick this year, if I'm not mistaken.
If like the first time ever.
Yeah,
like,
I think they still have it. They'll probably trade it, and I'm fine with them trading it. They have no prospects to move. Do you have a young, attractive player on the roster you can move? Not really. So I don't know how you get help in your top six, but that's what the team needs. Whether or not Sweeney can get it, that's his job. So we'll get to your phone calls on the Bruins. You can weigh in on the Patriots, our conversation there as well.
They have their 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7. They have 2 and 4
okay.
for next year.
So there you go. They have their first round pick if you want to move that. Meanwhile, the Celtics last night. I said I would give them credit for going 3 wins or 4 wins on this 4-game trip.
And they did.
They win 3 out of 4. I will give them credit for that. It is a successful road trip for the Boston Celtics. They beat the Nuggets last night. They won going away in the fourth quarter. They had a 15-0 run. While Denver was keeping it close, too close, I think it was tied with 8.5 minutes left. Christian Brown, who I hate. I think I hate him the most out of anybody in the NBA when I watch him.
He does have like a smackable face.
He's annoying.
Good. I feel like he's good.
I didn't say he's a bad player. I just said I think I hate him.
Yeah.
I know I hate him. I think I hate him more than anybody else in the league.
What about Dario Saric?
He doesn't. I didn't like him very much either. He doesn't pronounce his name properly. His name is Braun. He calls himself Christian Brown.
No.
He's annoying to watch.
Yep.
But he hit a 3 in the middle of the fourth quarter, tie game. Celtics go on a 15-0 run. Good. Successful road trip. I'm not arguing with you. It is a shame they didn't get Jokic and, by the way, Aaron Gordon last night. Celtics were without Derek White, so let's call that a wash. Gordon, Derek White.
Oh, they say Jokic and White?
No. Gordon and White, let's call that a wash.
No, Jokic sucks.
No, Jokic and the Nuggets still gave you a game.
Yeah, no, I know. I that's just unfortunate as a basketball fan not to see Jokic. You know, and that's why you're like... You know, the Celtics are dealing with complacency in like a lot of these games, and you wonder, it's easy to get excited to play Denver and to wrap up the road trip, but then when you find out Jokic isn't on the other side, I wonder if that's like a little bit of like a, oh.
So
it's almost like a lose-lose. It's either we win, we don't get credit, or we lose to that. Because last year, think about all the times they lost to the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell. They lost to the Lakers without LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not beneath them to lose to a team that's not playing their best player. So, yeah, that sucked when you found out Jokic wasn't playing. But ultimately, they did take care of business. And 3-1 on the trip is a very solid trip. The one, though, is frustrating because of how they lost.
Oh, and they got just
pantsed in the second half against the Thunder.
Bitched around. I mean, the Thunder did whatever they wanted in the second half of that game. And that's a team that has been on absolute... I think, by the way, they play the Cavs tonight. I think it's Thunder-Cavs.
Ooh, Thunder-Cavs.
Good game tonight. I believe they play each other. But
that's also such a shot in the arm for the Thunder. So if we get this finals preview that a lot of people have predicted, Thunder and Celtics, like if the Thunder break through this year, they might get a couple of their guys back healthy. Maybe they go on a run. In the back of their mind now, or maybe on the front of their mind, they're like, we beat the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
We beat the Celtics. We turned it up in the second half, and we beat them. So to me, that's such a big confidence boost because they might be the team that you think isn't ready.
They lost the NBA Cup, though. That's a good point. That's a strike against
them. They might just pack it in and quit.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. No, but like if they this is, you know, 6 months from now, play in the NBA Finals against the Celtics, like they have that. Like, that's a big feather in the cap.
100%. Yeah. So I'm annoyed at the Jokic thing last night.
I know.
Here's something I'm encouraged by. Successful road trip.
Yeah.
You win 3 out of 4 games. That's the criteria.
It's not
their fault. Jokic was out with the sniffies.
No.
Which, by the way, soft for Derek White, soft for Jokic. You're both out with like a scratchy throat.
What do you think that is? Do you think they were sharing a scorpion bowl?
Maybe.
Those two guys?
Good point.
Yeah.
Like, grow up.
Sharing cigarettes?
Grow up. Scratchy throat.
Yeah.
They both missed that game.
Yeah, but
at high
altitude,
saying about
though,
both, well,
Jones
will
knock it right
good
out.
Good point. The symptoms are going to be a little worse at high altitude. I actually, if you were watching, I thought, what's his name? Drew Carter had a good line last night.
Which one?
Porzingis got kicked in the nuts. And he goes, you think that hurts more at altitude?
That's not bad.
Yeah, good little line.
Yeah, well played,
and
sir.
And then Scal was like, bro, I don't want to joke about this. Like, he's fine. Oh, he got kicked in the nuts, Scal. He's fine.
Throw him a bone. Drew Carter needs all the help he can get.
It's not a season-ending injury. But anyways.
By the way, Porzingis good.
Very good.
Looked real good last night.
Yeah, it helps when Jokic isn't out there, I would say.
I'm just saying.
But so Mike Malone before the game. Here's something I liked about the Celtics. No Jokic. How much can you read into it? You can debate. Successful road trip. I'm not going to debate. I'll give it to him. Good road trip. Bad loss in the middle, but good road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Malone said before the game about the Celtics, and I thought this was interesting.
He can be prickly.
Oh, he was very prickly last night.
Mike Malone is usually prickly.
I'll give Scal credit. Scal last night called out Malone right when he had that stupid challenge. And Malone ran out of timeouts. He couldn't stop the Celtics' 15-0 run. I think it was a 12-0 run when he finally did stop it. But he used his last timeout to do that, and it was stupid. So Mike Malone's annoying. I'm with you on that. He said last night, in the prior to the game, he said no matter what you do, the Celtics are going to shoot 53s. He says, I really believe that. He says 19 of their 53s are taken off the bounce. They shoot in transition, blah, 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 blah. So he goes through all the different ways they get their shots. He says they shoot the same number of threes and wins and losses. Their percentage is much, much different. But point being, they're going to get 50 shots up. That's just how they're wired. It's the quality of the three that they get. Okay, so he goes on this big, long thing before the game last night. They're going to get 53s no matter what they do. I think the Celtics intentionally leaned out a little bit based on those comments.
You think so?
They took 35 last night. They made 12. They were outshot on makes and attempts by the Nuggets last night. I wonder if the Celtics made a little bit of a point to Mike Malone. Now, could you make that if Jokic were playing? Maybe not.
Mm.
And Aaron Gordon were playing? Maybe not. Those guys were out. You were without Derek White. I think they consciously made an effort to play a little differently and go through Porzingis early on in the game. And good. You shouldn't need to, every single night, launch 53s.
There are a lot of threes.
There are different ways to win.
Yeah.
And I think the Celtics, to a degree, proved that last night. Good. They were called out before. They're going to take 53s no matter what. They took 35.
Well, it's funny because going into the Houston game, the second game on this trip, there was a lot of stats going around about how Houston is really good at locking down teams. They don't shoot a lot of threes against Houston. It's clearly a point of emphasis for Ime Udoka. They took 39 in that game, so they still put up a bunch. It wasn't the 50 number that Malone's talking about, but maybe they are finding other ways. You know, and one of it, too, that maybe swung it was just Jaylen Brown individually only took one. He only took 1 3 last night.
Tatum was still launching last night.
Oh, yeah. Bombs away. And he's not going in.
I didn't think Tatum had a great game last night. But Tatum was launching. You're right. Yeah. Jaylen didn't score a lot last night. Never mind shoot a ton. But, yeah.
Uh-huh. I like that because I think you want to be able to see them win in other ways. I think if they just settle for threes and in the course of a 7-game series, it'll probably be okay, and they'll probably win that way. It's some of these one-off games, though, that you're talking about where if you don't have it, they're all capable of doing it. Tatum and Brown could score. I mean, especially Tatum can score almost anytime he wants if he's even like, hey, we need 2 points. Like, he can probably get you the 2 points, but they just fall in love with the three. Coach makes it easy for them, and usually they do get pretty open looks. Right, like that's the one thing you can say about him is like,
oh, for sure.
When they take 43s, like I don't know, 30 of them are kind of uncontested.
Their ball movement's great. Yeah. I mean, when they're clicking and they're whipping the thing around the perimeter, yeah. I mean, their ball movement is great. And something I would say about Jrue Holiday, we talked about this earlier in the year. Our team's just going to leave him and let him shoot. I thought the Nuggets were doing that to a degree last night, and he knocked down 3 out of 7, and he shot well from the floor. And you know, I thought largely both he and Jaylen Brown were pretty competitive with Jamal Murray outside of that second quarter. So those are good things. Those are all good things for the Celtics. Good, successful road trip for the Celtics. Even without Nikola Jokic, I want to give him too much credit for the win last night specifically. But the road trip, I'll give him credit for. And winning differently than they normally do when the opposing coach says before the game, they're going to get 50 every night, they take 35, and they still win, I'll give him credit for that too.
Interesting little nugget, according to the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department.
Well,
the Celtics take about six more threes at home than they do on the road.
Huh?
They bomb it up at the Garden, a little bit less on the road.
And at altitude, they take even less.
That's right. That's right.
That's courtesy of the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department.
Not bad. They got to get the inhalers out for the Mile High games.
Good boy. Kata needed one last night after his first stint.
I don't know how to judge how far to shoot from beyond the arc.
It could be that.
That might be it. The distance is all off. Oh, did you see Kata put somebody in an absolute blender last night? He had that one. I was like, is that Hakeem Olajuwon?
A little lefty hook?
Yeah, it was like pivot. Yeah. He probably traveled, but he was like pivot, pivot, spin, spin, hook.
It's real nice.
Oh, that way, Kata. More of that. I didn't know he had that in
him. Kevin McHale.
Yeah, who is
out
that?
There with all the post moves.
Was it the Dream Shake? What was that?
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Bruins and the Celtics. Going in different directions. Celtics with a nice road trip. Bruins ready to fire their GM. If the fans have any say about it, they've lost five in a row. Maybe Joe Sacco, not the guy. In fact, 617-779-7937. We'll talk to Terp at high noon here on Jones and Keefe today. More on the Celtics coming up. We'll get to the Red Sox as well. Seems like they're dissatisfied with Rafael Devers and Tristan Casas, so we'll do that coming up. Plus, it's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins and Celtics were both in action last night. The Bees have now lost five straight after their 4-0 shutout loss to the Oilers at the TD Garden. Goaltender Jeremy Swayman gave up three goals on 38 shots. The Bruins are back on the ice tomorrow night when the Bees will be in Tampa Bay to play the Lightning. Seas got back in the win column with their 118-106 win over the Nuggets in Denver. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 29 points, and Kristaps Porzingis added in 25 points of his own. Celtics are back on the court Friday night when they host the Kings. Yesterday, the Patriots had interviews with Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton for the team's head coach opening. The team is scheduled to interview Mike Vrabel on Thursday and Lions OC Ben Johnson later in the week. Patriots special team of Brendan Schooler has been named to the All-Pro team for the second season in a row. And 93.7 WEEI-FM is your home for all NFL playoff games. Wildcard weekend begins with the Texans hosting the Chargers on Saturday. Kickoff is at 4:30 with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 4 o'clock. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.